This is Cascadia Public Radio.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. We have got Ed in, Clayton in Texas. Aloha, Clayton. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Great show as always. Hey, I just wanted to comment on you were talking about Linux versus Windows 7. And I heard another talk show host, who actually I really do respect on the GCN, who was giving out warnings about open source, about Linux, and saying, don't run it because you don't know what's on there or anything else. But I think that really is a misnomer about what open source means. The whole point of open source is that anybody can get the code and look at it. And you can look at it, you can see what you're running on your computer. And if anybody tries to slip something in there, like a backdoor, an NSA backdoor, something like that, somebody somewhere, people much smarter even than me, will say, hey, it's been compromised, and don't load this on your PC, or our version doesn't have it, whereas Windows or some other proprietary closed system like that.
You have no idea what's in there. You have no idea what's in there.
You never will. So actually, the open source, as in government and everything else, the more open it is, the more that you can trust it and know that there's no kind of shenanigans going on behind the scenes because it's open. So...
You're absolutely correct, and it sounds to me like this other talk show host, maybe Microsoft gave him a new laptop or something like that, but at this point, I am starting to wean myself and my wife away from all Microsoft products, it's not like I've got secrets to hide. I'm not running child porn here or terrorism or anything like that. I'm just by nature a private person, and until I commit a crime, it's none of the government's business what I'm doing on my computers. So I'm moving more and more to Linux, and when I finish up this season with this TV show I'm working on, I'm going to have a bunch of old laptops to give away, and I'm probably going to load those with Linux as well before I find some school or library to give them to. But absolutely, if you can go open source, and I know getting an actual source code implementation of Linux is getting harder and harder to do, but it is still out there. But the bottom line is that, if it's a community-created operating system, it's going to be much, much more difficult for the government to plant things inside the machine, especially if you go out and reflash your own BIOS and everything. At this point, I'm willing to live with a much simpler, reduced capability computer as long as I know I can trust it to be doing what I want it to do and not what some bozo over at the No Such Agency wants it to do. So.
And I've been running a Linux box here now for over a year, and it has yet to blue screen on me. I've got a virtual Windows running on it that when I need to open up my Windows programs, I can. And so far, I mean, I'm not trying to give this big advertisement, but I'm just saying I've been happy with it, and I finally got so fed up with things not working that I was spending almost half of my time trying to fix things, to patch them together, to try to get my work done, and I was just losing money like crazy. So I could completely relate to what you were talking about.
Which version of Linux are you using?
Actually, I'm running Red Hat. Mm-hmm. I have to go in and take a look and get the number for you. I've had it on here for a while.
Red Hat, actually, they've transitioned to a new product called Fedora, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm running SUSE Linux here. I'm very, very happy with it. I had difficulty with Ubuntu because its graphics drivers are not as universal as you'd like to have, but I've got SUSE version 11 running on my Linux boxes here, and I'm very happy with it.
Excellent, excellent. Well, just wanted to throw that in. Thank you for your good work.
You got it, and thank you very much. Somebody in the chat room is saying, I don't think Linux blue screens. Actually, it doesn't do a blue screen. It is possible to crash Linux, if you're writing bad code, just like with any other operating system. But certainly my experience, and, long before I was with Windows, I was a Unix guru, way back in the early 1980s, in the early days of the Internet, when it was just FTP and email and Usenet, and that was the entirety of it all. I was a Unix guru, and I did a lot of C coding, and it's what I'm comfortable with. And now, of course, the Macintosh operating system is a variant, I know I'm going to get emails on this one, of the Unix/Linux. The Amiga DOS was a Unix variant called OS9, I think it was. And, they're all pretty much the same. But, especially if you can get your hands on the source code and compile it yourself, then you know what's in there. And, yes, it represents a lot of work. But if you're doing anything that's mission critical and you are doing something that you want to keep absolutely private, you know, I think anybody who's trusting confidential material on a Windows or, for that matter, a Mac OS box, I mean, the NSA has a long history of compromising computer systems or encryption systems to make sure they've got access. There was that whole Crypto AG scandal. At the end of World War II, the U.S. government was handing out German Enigma machines to all of our allies without letting them know that we could actually read the messages being encoded on those things again. Back when they were still talking about Clipper chip, and even DES has the so-called work reduction packet, in which the key you're using to encode your message is encoded again and included in the encrypted message so that the NSA can decode it, get the key, and read the message. It's all skullduggery and everything like that. Me personally, I don't have any secrets anyway, but I'm a private person, and it's none of your business, you know, where I keep photos of my new great-grandniece, Leah, who's a cute as a button and lots of fun to play toes with. All right, so we're coming down to the end of the show here. And there were some things I wanted to basically cover. Hal Turner is out there. He's starting to blow the whistle on the extent of his involvement working for the FBI. And there's an object lesson there that if you see somebody who's out there really, like, trying to act like a racist and to act like exactly the kind of person the government will point to and say, see, this is why we must control you, 9 times out of 10, you're dealing with a government plant. If you're going to be passing legislation or collecting charitable contributions to deal with a, insert name here, racist, Nazi, tap dancing on shag carpeting, whatever, it is in your own interests to create an example of that villain. Whether you have to hire somebody to pretend to be a Nazi or hire somebody to pretend to be a racist, that way you stimulate the donations or the legislative support. All right, that's it for our show today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time here on GCN. Looking forward to a long week of craziness. If you see or hear anything about ClimateGate, get in their faces. Let them know that we know they're lying and they've got to do something about it. We're not going to let this stand. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.